Michelle Brown, our researcher, has popped in with some questions for the guys. Michelle?
Hi, Derek. Hi, guys. How are you? A few emails in from people around the country saying about the robins, Niall, that they're all saying the robins are getting on very well in their gardens. So that's taken quite a bit of interest around that.
Now, you've got to remind people, this goes back to an email from somebody who said they had two robins in the garden and they wanted to know, was this unusual? And were they already pairing off? This is a couple of weeks ago, Niall.
That's right, and I think that's what's going on. If it's recently people are seeing two robins together in a garden, that's because love is in the air. They're getting ready for the breeding season. They may already be nesting at this stage. Robins can often nest quite early, especially if conditions are mild and enough food is around. So that's probably why they're tolerating each other at the moment. I still stand by what I was saying about robins being very territorial, even in the winter, and it's very unusual for that détente to remain intact throughout the entire year, for the whole 12 months. Usually towards the end of the summer, those relationships break down, the robins go their separate ways and become very aggressive again. So that's normal behaviour for a robin, is to be not very tolerant of other robins except when they have to propagate the species. So for the next few weeks, the next few months indeed, you may see robins cooperating, the male and female together, but it's just a temporary thing, I'm afraid.
Okay. And also, you'll be happy to hear now that Catherine Natala was on. Remember, she sent a video of her blue tits reacting to the reflection in the mirrors, and she said they covered the mirror.
Catherine said that she had, and showed us a video of the blue tit which was attacking its own image. She has a mirror on one of the partition walls in our back garden, and we suggested that she covers it up, put plants in front of it, put a cover over it. But if, whatever you do, stop the bird from seeing itself, because at this time of year they're getting territorial and they're seeing each other. So it seems to have stopped, which is good news, Niall.
It is, absolutely. So again, because of breeding behaviour this time of year, the blue tits and other birds are getting very aggressive as well. When they see their reflection in a mirror, or very often in a pane of glass, we get lots of inquiries into the show and into Birdwatch Ireland about this as well at this time of year, blue tits pecking at windows. Mm. It's because they're seeing their own reflection. They think it's a rival encroaching on their territory. It can drive them absolutely nuts. The key to it, if you have that problem with blue tits coming to your window panes or whatever, what you can do is, if you get some cling film, you scrunch it up so it's very, very wrinkled, and then put it loosely over the outside of the pane of glass. So don't stretch it tight. You want it to be as wrinkled as possible. Those wrinkles then break up the reflection so that the bird no longer recognises it, and they soon lose interest. And you'll need to have it there for a couple of weeks. The bird will then forget all about this rival and go on with their breeding.
All right. Jonathan was on as well, saying he noticed house martins. Then he's wondering, were they swallows back in the nest over their front door? He sent a video in 6th of February. He thought it was exceptionally early, and he's wondering, is it?
Okay, so it's a video of a bird and he thinks it's a house martin, and he wants to rule out the fact that it's not a swallow. So swallows won't really nest around the eaves. They do nest in barns, Niall.
That's right. So swallows will nest inside a structure. They build a nest mainly of mud, though bits of grass and straw in it. And it's a cup-shaped thing that goes usually inside a shed or a barn or a porch, something like that. House martins are the ones that make the nest entirely out of mud underneath the eaves of a house. That's the one on the outside wall. So when people have them nesting up, you know, under the eaves or under the gutters, it's almost always house martins that are doing that. Now, I've had a look at the video that was sent in there by Jonathan, and it would indeed be extremely early for house martins to be back in Ireland and nesting and returning to their nests, almost impossibly early. The bird actually in the video, it's neither a house martin nor a swallow. It's actually a house sparrow. So I've seen it there perching up on the roof of the house in the video and then going into the house martin's nest. And actually house sparrows are very well known for doing this. They're resident in Ireland. They stay with us year round and they'll prospect for nest sites very early in the year, long before the swallows or the house martins are back. And they're well known for taking over house martin nests. Sometimes get the two species side by side in a colony, the house martin having taken over an old nest by a house martin. But sometimes what they'll do is the house sparrow will even evict house martins from the nest. They're a bit more aggressive, a bit more of a bully, and they'll actually kick them out of the nest. So in this case, what it is, it's not a house martin, it's a house sparrow that's in the nest.
Can I ask you a question with regard to the house martin? We've also got the sand martin, which comes here to breed, and it chooses to build its nest in, well, the clue is in the name, sand banks. But why doesn't the house martin do the same thing? How have they evolved like this, one to go to the eaves of houses and the other to go to sandbanks? Because if you go back far enough, surely there weren't houses, there weren't structures like that around. There was all kind of sandy banks, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing is that house martins must have benefited massively from human buildings over the last few centuries, particularly over the last couple of millennia, let's say. Before that, we're not really fully sure where they nested. It's thought it must have been in cliffs and overhangs and cliffs, maybe branches on trees, but they pretty much changed completely now to human buildings. So they're all only really found on human structures. So their behaviour has completely changed. So one of the birds that's benefited from development would be the house martin. The sand martin it's much less reliant on humans. As you said, they nest in sandy banks along rivers, sometimes very very sandy cliff faces as well. They can excavate a tunnel into, and it's millions of years of evolution.
The fact is, they've
each find their own niche. It's all about reducing competition and finding a space for yourself where no other bird or other creature is competing with you. So in this case, it works out very well. They can separate their breeding areas completely, and yet still you'll find them together in mixed flocks feeding because they eat the same food. They eat small flying insects. So you often see them gathering, particularly over water or high in the sky in the summer, hoovering up all these insects along with the swallows, along with the swifts, which are unrelated birds, completely unrelated, but have evolved a very similar lifestyle. And they only nest inside attic spaces and roof, but behind roofs and so on. So it's completely different again. So it's a way of they're reducing competition. They eat the same food, but they nest in different places.
Richard.
My nearest bird neighbours are, in fact, sand martins, about 100 metres from my door. They excavate a series of holes. Interestingly, there are beautiful holes in the seawall, but they ignore them, largely, and they excavate new ones in the grassy slope above it. And people pass along it back and forth. Hundreds of people pass back and forth within 2 or 3 metres of them. Most people don't see them, but they are there, and they're there every year. Now, they're usually the first to arrive. Why are they doing that as opposed to nesting in houses? Well, I suspect that where I live, the insect community on which they feed is different from the insect community on which swallows, say, or house martins inland would be feeding on. So there's specialisation here. These have honed their skills on marine insects, insects close to the coast, I suspect. And I think that is what is going on in here. The first to arrive every year, sand martins. The next to arrive, 2 weeks later maybe, swallows. Now, they don't nest right where I am. And finally, the house martin.
He's the last
to come, usually. Now, he does sometimes nest in the house behind me, but it's a hit and miss thing.
Any more there, Michelle?
Hi, Derek. I live in Leixlip. My bird feeder has been taken by something. The low-down branches of my laburnum were broken. My feeder is gone. I've looked all over the garden, but no sign. This happened twice last year, and this is the second time this year. Could it be a mink or a weasel? I don't want to give up feeding the birds. Any advice? Please help. I listen every Monday, and that's from Mary.
Mary, well, I can tell you a story. Are you ready for this, Michelle? Are you ready, Niall and Richard? Are you ready for a story?
Of course, always.
Well, Fido, when I was working for the BBC Natural History Unit, we made a film for a series called Nature Detectives about people and nature and their relationship with nature. People would contact us and tell us, I've got this in my garden, or I saw this when I was out for a walk, or can you identify this creature? Anyway, this man contacted us to say that he had a badger feeding from a hanging feeder. Nobody believed him, but he sent in evidence of the badger climbing up on a trellis, hanging onto the trellis and kind of reaching and stretching out, if you could imagine it, pulling the hanging feeder over and taking the nuts out. Now, we wouldn't have believed it if we hadn't seen it with our own eyes. I'm not saying that's what's happening here, but is it impossible?
Not impossible at all, but I would suspect the local cats rather than badgers, but that's just...
Oh, well, I'm not saying it was a badger. I'm just giving you an example because she asked if it was a mink or a weasel, you see.
We can definitely rule out a weasel because we don't have weasels in Ireland. We have a stoat. Now, sometimes the stoat is colloquially known as the weasel. But no, we don't have weasels, which are tiny creatures. We have the stoat, which is also very small. Mary mentioned in her email about the branches being damaged. Mm-hmm. Now, something like a stoat, it's not going to be able to carry away a feeder. It's not going to damage the branches. I've never heard of a stoat even going to a bird feeder. So we can rule that out. I'd say pine marten is unlikely. They're very agile too. It sounds to me if the branches were broken below, it's something that's a bit more clumsy, a bit less adept in trees. I think a badger isn't a bad guess at all. It could be a fox potentially as well that would take it. I have seen feeders taken by crows, literally unhooked and carried away. But then again, of course, they don't need to break the branches to do that. They fly in from the top and fly away with it.
It's another one of those great mysteries, Niall and Richard and Michelle. So if you get evidence, a photograph will solve this mystery. So you can email Mooney at rte.ie.